Well, I would be grateful for your prayers. Lord, bless his word to us this morning. I'd like for us to consider the things that the enemy would try to influence us with in life. The things that he'd like to introduce into our hearts and our minds. I believe we have a responsibility to our own soul. I may have a responsibility to you all, and to an extent I do. But really, every one of us are responsible for what I permit into my own heart and into my own life. I want to think of a phrase that's been going through my mind. I pose it to you as a question this morning. What's in your harbor? What's in your harbor? You're familiar, probably, with what a harbor is. The idea of it is to have a place that you can moor a vessel, a boat, and keep it out from in a sheltered place, away from the swells and the waves, and in somewhat of a sheltered place when storms come. A harbor. There's two instances that I'd like to bring to your attention. You ever heard of the Black Plague? Black Death, I believe they called it. The bubonic plague. It swept across Europe and decimated the population. I believe about a third or more of the population of Europe was wiped out by this plague. You know how that plague got started? As I understand it, it entered Europe via trading ships that sought harbor in Europe. By that point of entry, the plague was able to get a foothold through that one little port, was able to sweep across Europe. Second instance I'd like to relate to you had to do with a ship in Halifax. The year 1917 was laden with explosives. And this ship had a collision in the harbor there in Halifax. It was a slow speed collision, but nonetheless it disrupted some of the material that was on board. And that ship exploded and wiped out just about everything within a half mile point of that harbor. It mattered what was in the harbor. Well, there's also a phrase that you'll hear sometimes about harboring a criminal, or to harbor a fugitive. And the idea behind that is that you give shelter to, or you give aid and assistance unto, someone who is a criminal or a fugitive of the law. And that carries with it a penalty in which the person who harbors the fugitive or the criminal shares in that criminal's punishment, because they have become party unto it. Well, why am I talking about harbors and harboring? Because I'm interested and concerned for myself and for us that we not harbor things in our hearts and in our minds. It matters what I allow into harbor. A harbor is not about just a passing ship that keeps on going. It's what I allow to come and dock and stay for a while. You know, you might have all kinds of thoughts that introduce themselves into your mind in the course of a day. I don't believe that a thought is sin. I don't believe that temptation is sin. Satan introduced temptation to our Lord, and yet he knew no sin. But what we must be careful about is what I give birth unto, B-E-R. What I allow to have a berth or a place in my harbor, in my mind, in my thoughts. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Second Corinthians 10 and 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I've got a responsibility. The Lord has given to every one of us jurisdiction. That means, well, the police here in Springfield have a certain jurisdiction. That if they're within city limits, this is our jurisdiction to enforce the laws of that jurisdiction. Jurisdiction of a sheriff is broader. It covers the county than where they are appointed. You know, every one of us have a jurisdiction where we're given responsibility to monitor, to regulate. What is it that I'm going to allow to happen in this jurisdiction? It says here, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have laws in our land, laws in our county, laws in our municipality or city. And law enforcement's responsibility is to ensure that those laws are followed and that they're enforced. When we have jurisdiction, it's not jurisdiction over somebody else, but I'm given jurisdiction over my mind, over my thoughts. If I recognize something that is not conforming to the laws of Christ, if I recognize something that has entered into this jurisdiction, and I trust so we can understand the analogy, entering into that jurisdiction of my thoughts, of my mind, that is not in obedience to the laws of Christ, I am given the authority, and more than the authority, the responsibility to do something about it. I can allow that thing, that, we'll say, rogue thought, I can allow that thing to come and land and take residence and set up operations if I allow it. Or I can, as I think of it, like a radar, to recognize that thing that's coming in. There's a thought that's incoming. There's a suggestion to my mind. And I've got to recognize, we talked about a way of escape last week. It would have been much better for Eve to have recognized that's not from the Lord. That voice, that suggestion, that question that was introduced to my mind, that's not in obedience to the law that I understand of my God. I'm not going to entertain it. I'm not going to let that thing stick around. I want to look at a story in Genesis found in the 15th chapter. Genesis 15 and begin in the 9th verse. And he said unto him, unto Abram, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. When the fowls came. This was a covenant of promise that Abram was called to make with the Lord God. What Abram was doing here was sacred. It might seem to us rather odd, the things he's doing with these animals, but this was, he was doing business with his God. This was about a covenant between him and his seed and Almighty God. And it says, and when the fowls came, for indeed they will come. When the birds of prey began circling overhead, Abram was diligent. He was on guard. He was watching for them. And he intervened. You're not going to come and defile that which I'm offering unto the Lord. What is our sacrifice today? Is it not ourselves? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We are to present ourselves upon the altar unto the Lord our God. You know there are birds that will come and try to prey upon our offering. There are thoughts that are going to try to come in the course of your day. Not if the birds come, when they come. Whenever the enemy comes with his accusations, I've got a responsibility. What do I do with that? When the enemy comes with his suggestions, what am I going to do with that? When the enemy comes and entices me with a suggestive thought to just entertain for a moment the pleasures of the flesh, just for a moment, what am I going to do with that thought? What am I going to do with that suggestion that's brought into my mind? We're going to keep the birds of prey away. What is it that might try to take harbor in your and my life? Jesus talked about whenever offenses come. Not if offenses come, but when they come. For it must needs be that offenses will come in life. I don't believe it's the Lord's plan for us to lock ourselves away in our house, never to interact with anybody around us, to live my life unto myself. If we live life and interact with one another, there is going to be cause and opportunity for offense. It is just a fact of life and a part of working with other people that there's going to be opportunity to become offended. There will be opportunity to become offended at the Lord. There will be opportunity of disappointment that we might feel. Lord, why did you permit that? Lord, I had trusted. I had believed. And yet, Lord, I'm disappointed. Lord, where were you? You know, we have an opportunity to be offended. The disciples had an opportunity to be offended at the Lord. He said, will you also go away? There's an opportunity. What are you going to do with it? You think the enemy wasn't there to try to suggest to them perhaps the same course of action that he had suggested to those who walked away? But what am I going to do with it? That's the question that Jesus asked them. Will you also go away? Their resolve and determination was, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of everlasting or eternal life. Lord, I've got it fixed. That's what I'm going to do with that thought. No. Lord, I'm not going to entertain that. I'm not going to consider that. The thing about in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where it says, of those of the heroes of faith, that they were strangers and pilgrims, and they plainly declared such. And it says, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You know, it matters what we allow into our mental harbor. It matters what I allow to penetrate, to come in, what birds I allow to not only fly into my airspace, so to speak, but to land. It matters. If they had been mindful, if they had given thought unto where they had come out of, there would have been an opportunity, sooner or later, for them to go back. Lord, help us to be careful with what we allow into our mind. You know, if you entertain for very long thoughts of the world, you know, that does look kind of fun. You know, it does seem like that'd be kind of a fun way to live. You entertain those kind of thoughts very long, and you know what you'll have? You'll have opportunity. The enemy will suggest something, and then he'll see to it that there's opportunity for you to follow through with that thing. Be careful what you allow to come and take harbor in your mind. What comes into the mind, what we entertain, what we allow our mind and our thoughts to dwell on, enters into the heart. And out of the heart proceed, Jesus said, the things of life, the words that we speak and the actions of our life. It comes from the heart of man. We are called to diligence. We are called to stand guard over our heart and our minds. So with this opportunity of offense, you ever been hurt by somebody? Whether they meant to or not, have you ever found somebody's words to sting? That hurt. And maybe even in the moment, a respond with a smile and a laugh it off. You know what the enemy will try to do when you lay down that night? You know, that wasn't very nice. You know, they were laughing when they said that, but I think they really meant that. You know what? They said something like that a while back too. What's wrong with them? Why don't they like me? You know, now that I think about it, the last few times I've been to service, they haven't spoken to me. You know what? Something's going on. What is it? Now, if I'm way off base, then just pray for me. But I kind of believe this is how the enemy works. You know, the scripture says one of the things that God hates is he that sows discord among brethren. You know where that comes from? From the enemy himself, the chief discord sower. He's behind it. You know, the enemy is the one that'll stand there whispering to you. He's not, as we heard in Sunday school, going to come and introduce himself. Excuse me, I'm the devil. And I'm here to sow some discord in your day. I'm here to try to drive a wedge between you and a family member, you and the congregation. He doesn't come that way, does he? He comes under the guise of your own thoughts and feelings. Say, you know, that hurt. Folks, it doesn't make you less spiritual. That hurts come. Now, there are ways that we can protect against hurt. Humility is one of those that makes us much less susceptible to hurts. But those kind of things are going to come. And the psalmist said, I believe prophetically, that it was he, mine equal, my brother. I could have taken it. I could have borne it if it was an enemy. But it was my acquaintance. That really hurts. You know, the enemy will try to get to you through a loved one. And I can look at it and say, it's that loved one. I'm going to tell you what, they're the problem. They're the reason why I can't have peace in my heart and mind. They're the reason why I'm on edge and I'm agitated. They're the reason why I reacted the way I did. I've got a responsibility to myself. Lord, how am I going to respond? How am I going to act? What am I going to allow to dwell, to stay? Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I believe the things that we're talking about here are relevant to our day-to-day living. It's relevant to relationships with brethren in the congregation. And I'm not preaching this because I know there's some kind of strife in the congregation. I trust there's not. But this is the way the devil works. And folks, if the devil's not doing this right now, you better look out because he's going to. You know, the enemy will work this way in the closest of relationships, in a marriage. He sure will. They'll come in with the smallest, most trivial of thoughts, agitations, irritations of life. And if we allow that thing to dwell, if we dwell on it, we're going to find that it has an effect on me. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. The 26th verse says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Now I believe that there's much that could be said of anger. Anger is something you better be real careful with. Real careful about. You know, it doesn't say that the emotion of anger in itself is the sin. But there's a carefulness that we're to have. Don't allow that thing to become sin to you. Don't allow that thing to get in and make its residence. I better recognize that. Recognize it for what it is. And I've got a responsibility then to do something about that. I control it, or it controls me. What am I going to do with that feeling that rises up? What am I going to do with that? Let not the sun go down. Make haste to deal with those things that come to lodge. Be quick to deal with it. Don't let that thing go unchecked for hours that turn into days, that turn into weeks, months, and years. Deal with that thing. I believe that's good practice to put into place in my marriage and in these relationships that we talk about with people. I need to deal with those things. Because if I don't, they'll get in and they have tentacles that'll begin to work their way. It'll become entrenched. Be careful what you allow to take harbor. Neither give place to the devil. Or if I could substitute a belief without injustice to Scripture. Don't give harbor to the devil. Don't give him a place to come and stay. You're not welcome here. You don't have a place here. As Jesus said, that the enemy comes, but he has nothing in me. He's going to come, all right. The enemy came even to Jesus. He's going to come to you and he's going to come to me. He's going to poke, he's going to prod, he's going to examine if there's any place that I open up and say, here's a parking spot for you. Here's a place that you can come and you've got sympathetic ground here. You've got a place that you can come and moor right in here. Don't give place to the devil. We are not, as we mentioned last week, we are not ignorant of his devices. We can't afford to be. I can't afford to allow the enemy a foothold. Because once he gets it, he's not going to leave of his own accord. Let's be on our guard. Let's be watchful and prayerful What have I perhaps allowed to take harbor in me? If we're not careful, we can harbor suspicions. Suspicions are words whispered in the shadows. There may or may not be any substance to it. There may or may not be truth to it. But there's a suspicion that seems plausible enough that it's worth entertaining. It's worth thinking about. It's worth turning over and over and over in my mind. You know, I don't know for sure, but I kind of wonder what they do behind closed doors. You know, I kind of wonder how they really live. You know, I don't know, but I just kind of have a suspicion. Now, I'm not talking about not having discernment and being able to discern spirits. But we've got to be careful to not listen to the suspicious whisperings of the enemy. Where the enemy would come and it's part of his campaign to sow discord. Where if I entertain suspicions, they'll be like a seed that begins to take root. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. You know, I believe we have a responsibility in what we give harbor to. What do you do with gossip? Is gossip something that's just an old English word that's kind of obsolete anymore, doesn't happen? What do you do? Do we recognize gossip? That's a question for me, for all of us. Do I recognize what it is? Does it mean that I can never discuss with somebody an event that is occurring? That I can never have a conversation about something that affects my life? I need to recognize what place that the enemy is coming and trying to harbor something in my heart and mind. If there are unfounded suspicions, well, we don't know, but I heard this. I heard that it might be this way. So and so told me that they heard from someone else that had seen. Be careful. Be careful about allowing those things to harbor, because you know what that can do? It can bring a suspicion in my mind that may not be grounded in reality at all. But the next time I see that person, I look at them a little bit differently. You know, I don't know. There's a responsibility on the giving and receiving side of that. To speak that which is truthful. To speak that which is edifying. And to receive the same. When hurts happen, we can so easily begin to harbor resentment. Resentment is a hurt that sticks around. A hurt that's not taken care of. And that begins to turn into a resentment. It wants to stay around. You ever dealt with resentment? You ever feel its sting rise up whenever you see somebody that's hurt you? It might be months ago. It could be years ago. And suddenly when I see him, there's something that rises up again. Resentment. Lord, help me to be careful what I harbor. You know, we can begin to harbor envy. You know, it's much better to recognize those things when they're trying to come into port than when they've already come and harbored and tied, dropped anchor. I need to recognize. You know what? There's something here. No. It starts with a thought. You know what? No. The scripture says, be content with such things as you have. The psalmist said, the lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Lord, thank you. We're entering into Thanksgiving season. It's not just a psychological mind over matter. You know, it is good to give thanks unto the Lord. It is good in everything to give thanks to the Lord. You know, that's a way to keep the ship of envy from harboring in my life. Lord, thank you for what I have. I'm not focused on the things I don't have. But Lord, I'm giving you thanks for the things that I do have. Thank you, Lord, you've been good to me. I can focus on everybody else and on what they have and the way they live their life. Asaph found himself in that kind of a place. He says, surely God is good unto Israel, 73rd Psalm. But as for me, my feet are well nigh slipped. For I was envy at the prosperity of the wicked. I looked at them and I got my eyes fixed on them. And something began to take hold. There was an envy that began to cloud my vision and the way I saw things. And it began to affect me. It began to affect my stability. My standing. Be careful where your eyes are fixed. It said, until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. Then understood I therein. Lord, help us not to harbor envy. Lord, help us not to harbor bitterness. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, gives us the warning, looking diligently, the 15th verse, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Be careful of the roots. Be careful what takes root. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, I'd like to read. Colossians chapter 3 and the 12th verse. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let that ship take harbor. Let the peace of God, that's what I want to stay. You can't share a harbor. I'm going to give place to one or the other. Let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God be what abides. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I'm going to have to watch. Just like Abram, until the sun went down. It wasn't a one time. You ever find that with flies? Oh, how frustrating. They just keep coming back. You can shoo them away and here they come again. You can shoo them away and here they come again. Better yet to kill it if you can. But you better be watchful. You better keep shooing away if they keep coming. Stand watch. Let the peace of God rule. I want to skip down here a little bit, the 19th verse. Husbands, love your wives. And be not bitter against them. To harbor bitterness. You know, any one of us can allow irritants, agitations. We can allow them to take root and become bitterness. Don't harbor bitterness. We are called here, it says, to forbear and forgive one another. Folks, let that ship sail right on by. I'm not going to allow bitterness to stop here. I'm not going to allow that thing. I'm not going to allow, yes, it hurt. Yes, I don't feel like it was just, but I'm not going to allow that thing to take over me. I'm not going to allow those explosives to be on board. Well, it's just a ship. It's harmless. I don't see any. You better examine what's on board, what you're allowing into your heart, what you're allowing into your mind, for all the destruction that it can cause. That plague just needed a little avenue to be able to come in. You know, I don't believe, unless it could be mosquito-borne or something, I don't know. I don't believe that plague could have jumped from the ship to the shore if it never harbored. Perhaps, likely, they didn't realize what was on board when they allowed it to harbor. So we got to understand and realize and have the discernment in my life to recognize what the enemy's trying to introduce. What's on board that? What's attached to that? I might look at it and be able to justify and rationalize, but what's it carrying on board with it? Oh, unforgiveness destroys congregations, homes, societies. You know, it's not the offender it destroys, but it's the one holding on to. It's the one that's harboring the unforgiveness that receives its destruction. Folks, there are things that we've got to let go. There are things that we cannot allow to tie up. And I hope I'm not overusing the analogy, but we can't allow to anchor in my harbor. You're not staying here. I'm not allowing by the grace of God. And it's going to take His grace. It's going to take a grace of forgiveness. It's going to take a divine influence to enable me to say, no, I'm not holding on to that thing. I'm going to let go of it. I'm not. Amen. Folks, these things can consume us. Hurts are real. And they can become all-consuming. Lord, help me to let it go. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. You know what it is to really forgive? Let go. Turn loose of it. You know, I can try to still hold on to ropes of responsibility. Their responsibility. Look, I forgive you, but I got to hold, you still owe me. I still expect from you, you need to come and apologize for that. You got to come and make that right. You know, forgiveness, I've got to be willing to absolve them of responsibility. Lord, if they never do, if they never recognize, if they never see what they've done, if they never come and ask forgiveness, Lord, by your grace, I'm letting go of it. Folks, don't hold on to something that's destructive. You remember the disciples' reaction, Luke the 17th chapter, along these lines of forgiveness. You think it's easy? I don't know. Maybe forgiveness comes easier to some people. But chances are, you will be tested along these lines. I can remember a time that I thought, you know, I don't have problems with unforgiveness. I don't tend to harbor grudges and those kind of things. You'll be put to the test. Luke, the 17th chapter. Take heed to yourself. Verse 3. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, that's easy. Piece of cake. No. and said, "Lord, increase our faith." What does that have to do with faith? "Lord, I don't see how that's possible. I don't see seven times. Turn again and do the same thing over and over and over, and yet still forgive. Lord, increase my faith to be able to receive that this is even possible. There is a grace that I'm going to need from the Lord to be able to turn loose of some things." Jesus went so far as to tell Peter, not just seven, but until 70 times seven. Remember a sister saying once, "Well, you know, we could think of that. Well, that's never going to happen in a day, 490 times. But said, "You know, I got to thinking, how many times does the thought of that thing come back to me?" And I'll tell you, there have been times I'm not even meaning to. And I might be getting in my car and that thought's coming back to me again. What happened here? Driving that, and here it comes again. "You know, I believe 490 times easily something can be brought to my mind in a day. And you know, every one of those, I got to turn loose. I've got to be willing to forgive and to let go." We think about the alternative. Jesus said, "If you don't do this, neither will you be forgiven." He gave the parable explaining the man who owed so much. And he was forgiven the debt that he could never repay. But how quickly he forgot and turned around and found someone that just owed him a pittance. And he took him by the throat. He gave us that parable because he knew that's human nature. The Lord help us to not lose sight of how much I've been forgiven. Today I want to leave you with a trust challenge. What's taken harbor in your life? You recognize anything that maybe you've been holding on to, harboring? Lord, help us to take stock of what the enemy has been trying to introduce that maybe I've given place to. You know, self-pity provides a big, wide harbor for the enemy. Whenever I begin to give place to feelings of self-pity, oh, woe is me. This would happen to me. I'm always getting the short end of it. Why is it always, you know, those thoughts and feelings of self-pity are like summoning the birds of prey. Right here. Right here it is. Lord, help us to be careful what we give harbor unto. You pray for me. Amen.